stopped, I guess that means something. Things going on.
Actually, I ran out of stuff to play.
Okay, well, thank you for covering for me there on that. Good morning. I got some people, some things added to our prayer list here, and that's just very, very important to get that done. Welcome. Glad that you're here. Just a couple of announcements. Tonight we meet at 6 o'clock for Bible study, continuing in 1 Corinthians. Before that, deacons, we have a monthly deacons meeting back this month. We didn't last month, so we meet tonight at 5 o'clock. And then, Miss Clarice, I see in the bulletin WMU will resume on Wednesday. Is that correct?
We've changed it because it's so cold, and cold and COVID. We're not going to leave.
Okay.
We'll try again.
All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Any other announcements? I have something very special to share with you. I've got a beautiful card here from the Clark family. Priscilla gave me this morning from the whole family. And before I read this, I want to thank everyone for your involvement and response to the celebration of life service yesterday. I thought it went really nice. If you didn't know, a group from our church went. It was at the Magnolia Community Center. And we took some food to help with the family's food that they brought. And then our church had a time. We sang two songs, and everything was very well received by the family. We got a number of thank yous from them. And then they went out yesterday evening, I understand, and purchased this thank you card, and I want to share it with you. It says, "There are certain people we thank in our prayers for things we appreciate so, but try as we may, we sometimes can't say the words that we want them to know. There are people who often go out of their way to pitch in when there's work to be done. They show understanding, they lighten our problems, they help us in more ways than one." That's a beautiful poem, and it rhymes. I'm not good at reading those. I didn't read it as good, but you get the message, I hope. And then inside, it says, "There are certain people we thank in our prayers," which was the first verse of what I read at the front. And then it goes on to say, "And one of those people is you, and this comes to say, may God bless you forever for all you so thoughtfully do. Thank you from the Clark family." And so they were very appreciative, and of course we all loved and respected Mr. Clark, and like others that have gone to be with the Lord this year, he will be sorely missed here. Any other announcements? Yeah, is that right? Wednesday night, children, youth, everything? Green light to go Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Josh? Yep, thumbs up. Bethany, hey, all the workers are here. All we need to do is get the children and the youth in here. And that's the plan for this Wednesday. We've been out for a good while over the holidays, and so we'll see how difficult or how easy it's going to be to get our students back in here. They'll probably be standing in line waiting to get on the van. When we coming back to church?
That's right.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Very good. Okay, I have a number of prayer requests, and again, I remind you, we have a printed prayer list there in the vestibule, and also a calendar for January that has a lot of information, including birthdays. And didn't know that. First of all, I didn't know Tyler had a birthday back about a week or so ago. Happy birthday, Tyler. And then yesterday, Louise Brown had a birthday. And so we're trying to catch up. Several others on here. So pick up one of these if you haven't already gotten one, as well as a printed prayer list. And then beyond that, I have several I want to mention this morning. Pray for Bobby Barnes, Charlie Odom, Praise the Lord that Beth Page's surgery went well and she's recovering. Continue to pray for her. Pray for Nancy Barrett, stage 3 breast cancer, and she begins treatment later on this month. Pray for Bill and Louise Barrett. Dees just added. Did I pronounce that right? Johnette Dees. Many of you know who she is. She is in Gulfport Memorial with complications of COVID on ventilator. Pray for her. Also, needless to say, pray for our country. Just a tremendous amount of problems going on. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. Much, much needed. Pray for our missionaries. Do pray also for Teresa Dickens in Thailand. She's our local missionary from here. And along that line, I want to thank everyone for responding generously to our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. Went well. We did exceed our goal. And everything that exceeded our goal will go to the International Mission Board, but designated to the work that Teresa is involved in over in Thailand. Glad we have that. Glad we have that opportunity. Always good to put a name and a face, especially someone that we know, in addition to our regular giving to the mission boards. Any other prayer needs that you'd like to mention this morning before we pray? Yeah. Still hospitalized with pneumonia.
Double pneumonia.
And that's your sister-in-law?
My sister-in-law's sister.
Okay. Excuse me just a minute. Okay, for those of you listening on and watching at home, this was Bethany requesting prayer for her sister-in-law's sister has pneumonia. Did you say double pneumonia? Double in the process of recovering from COVID?
She just got hospitalized about 2 days ago. But yeah, it's coronavirus.
Those kind of complications get serious real quick. So pray for Brandy.
She's got bronchitis on that, so makes it definitely.
Brandy Bird was tested positive and also has bronchitis and recovering. She's been sick all week. And pray for Marilyn Beckham as she's being the number one nurse there. And that's my words, not theirs, but I'm sure she is. That's her only daughter, so. Unspoken requests. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you so much for your answered prayers. We thank you especially, dear Lord, that you were with Beth and the surgery that she had and all went well and is continuing to go well. We just pray for a good and speedy recovery on her part. We pray for Bobby. We pray for Charlie Odom and Nancy Barrett, Bill and Louise. Especially those folks are part of our church family, and we lift them up to you. We pray for the Clark family as they continue to grieve the passing of Brother Clark, and be with our church family as well as we come to grips with his absence among us. And again, we didn't say goodbye, but we said see you later because we know we will meet again in the glories of your house or your home. We pray for Heather, we pray for Brandy, we pray for Johnette Dees, many others on our printed prayer list. Lord, you know them all. Also those indicated by the uplifted hand, we bring them all to you from the bottom of our hearts, giving us much peace and contentment because we know that all of these are in your hands. For your glory and for your sake, we pray. Amen. All right, Brother John, come and get us started off this morning.
Two hundred ten. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. We're going to sing the first and last verse. And I would ask you to stand as we sing it. Remain standing for the prayer. Father, we do come this morning to praise you, to adore you, to worship you, because you are worthy. For no other reason than that, we are gathered here together this morning. Along that line, God, we thank you and praise you because you sent your Son, the Savior, to be our Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful, gracious expression of your love that is to us. And what assurance, security, and joy that gives us personally, individually, in our hearts and in our minds because of our Savior being sent from you, individually accepting that as our personal Savior. And I pray this morning, if anyone has not done that, that they would before they leave from this place now. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Y'all will be seated.
Thank you.
Now, if you would join us in singing hymn 56. To God be the glory. Six hundred eleven. He hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior.
Yeah.
I'm going to sing a special, and then Brother Charlie comes with the message. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am His child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love, I gladly I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through.
Thank you, Brother John. Thank you, choir. Sounded very, very good. I'm just amazed some Sundays, and the message in these songs is so inspiring as well. Thank you so much. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Yes, we are back in the Psalms. Several weeks ago, I said to our worship team, I guess they are, Brother John and Nell, I didn't have a clue where I was going with messages after the holidays. And then by last Sunday, I did say to them, I think I'm going back to the Psalms since I don't really have any direction of where else to go. And so I think it was probably Monday I had Oki text the Psalm and the title to Nell. It's
far as choosing the hymns. And boy, the events later that unfolded during the week, I just had to stand up and praise and thank God for His direction. Because I might be thinking, what shall I say about what has taken place? Well, I don't have anything to say except Psalm 19, where our priority really ought to be. Let me read the last verse of this psalm. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's where our focus needs to be. And so I've always refused to make the pulpit a political operative, and I'm sure not going to change that now. But I will, as much as possible, use a pulpit for a spiritual operative in promoting our Heavenly Father and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning I bring a message entitled, after that line in the last verse of this psalm, to stand pleasing in His sight. But begin reading in verse 1, Psalm 19, follow in your Bibles if you will. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaiming the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the earth, of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The second stanza begins in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. But by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And then the last stanza begins in verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me, give me the words to say that you want me to say. But by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts the truths of this psalm and make them a part of our lives today and the days following. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Above anything and everything else, a psalmist's desire was to stand pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And this should be our greatest desire also. Yes, salvation through the blood of Christ makes us presentable in the presence of God, a high and a holy God. But even as Christians, we're not always pleasing in His sight. It's like a rebellious son or daughter. They're always our child. And we will never deny that, or we will never abandon that child, regardless of what they do. But they're not always pleasing in our sight. Child's behavior is unpleasing to us, but our love for them is never shaken. And that's the way I see our Heavenly Father. We are all His children as Christians. And He lives in us by His presence of the Holy Spirit. But yet, He has given us the freedom, the will to do, to obey or disobey, and because of that, there are times when we are not pleasing in His sight. But our greatest desire ought to be always to be pleasing in His sight. This psalm presents three amazing truths in three stanzas, almost like a song that is sung, and may very well have been sung in the worship times of the Hebrew people. Three amazing truths that should motivate us, and did indeed motivate the psalmist in our efforts to be pleasing in His sight. The psalmist is telling us that on the basis of verse 1 through verse 13, then our utmost desire should be verse 14. And so let us consider these amazing truths this morning. See what they have to say to us. The first of those is verse 1 through 6, that first stanza. Let us consider the splendor and the magnitude of creation. Recently, we have had some amazing clear nights. They've been cold, but I hope maybe you were able to just for a little while step outside at night in the dark of night and look into the heavens and marvel because you could just see forever out there into what we call the Milky Way. Millions of stars in endless distance. In addition to that, I discovered that biologists tell us that there may be 1.6 million species of fungus, and I know the proper terminology is fungi and funguses, but that just doesn't sound right to me. Anyway, they're saying there's a 1.6 million species, possibly. Some 10,000 species of ants. A lot of ants, isn't there? 300,000 species of flowering plants, between 4,000 and 5,000 species of mammals, and approximately 10,000 species of birds. And these are only a handful of residents on this earth, many more like fish. And God only knows how many species of fish is in the sea. And these numbers are only small. They're only a handful. Insignificant, pale insignificance when we start examining the heavens. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. Here, when we examine the heavens, we are dealing in infinite numbers, in light years of distance. It goes beyond our understanding, beyond our thinking. We can't comprehend it all. And here's where the psalmist puts his attention, in the heavens. Verse 1, he begins, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. They proclaim His works." Can you imagine the Creator that put all of that in place, all in harmony? Verse 2, "They pour forth speech. They display knowledge." Verse 3, "They transcend languages and speech. Every language and every nation and tribe around the world looks into the heavens with amazement." Transcends all speech. Verse 4, "Their voice and their words go into all the earth, indeed to the ends of the earth." The heavens are amazing. And then there's a sun, the psalmist calls our attention to, that rises on one end of the heavens, over here, sets in the other end. Nothing is hidden from it. Nothing's hidden from its heat. It reminds us of a bridegroom coming for his bride, rising boldly in the morning. Reminds us of an athlete running a race that has been set, the course from that side to this. And yes, we know now that the psalmist didn't know then that we're going around the sun, but yet in our own minds we talk about what time the sun comes up and one time what time the sun sets. And so that is the frame of reference in which we think and speak of even today. Such a creation, so vast, demands a creator beyond our comprehension that can do anything, that knows everything, and who is present everywhere. And he deserves our total devotion and our intense desire to stand pleasing in his sight. Everything else is secondary to that. So no matter what we say or what we think, meditate, as the last verse says. No matter what we say or what we think, all should be secondary to our desire to stand pleasing in his sight. In addition to the splendor and magnitude of creation, the psalmist then in the second stanza says to us, and let us consider the effectiveness of his word. Verse 7 through 11. And as we look at verse 7 through 11, they're very telling. They're very straightforward, easy to understand what they're talking about, what it's talking about in the word of God. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord, and that law of the Lord in David's day, in the psalmist's day, was referring to the Torah, the books of the law. But today it includes the entirety of the scriptures, the entirety of the Bible. It is the law of God. The law of the Lord, scriptures, is perfect. It is without error, indeed. Reviving the soul. The word reviving means to give life. When life is almost gone, it gives life. In my way of thinking, as I first read this, I'm thinking along the lines of being discouraged and being in dismay. And a lot of that came our way this week and the events that unfolded. And in the middle of that, it gives us life. It revives the soul. God's word does. The last part of verse 7 goes on, says, the statutes of the Lord, and the statutes refer to his established rules. They're trustworthy, the psalm says. They're trustworthy. That is, they are sure and reliable. Making wise the simple. That is, it changes a simple childlike mind into one filled with wisdom. That's amazing. Nothing else can do that. Only the Word of God can do that. The precepts of the Lord, going on to verse 8. By the precepts of the Lord, it's referring to his specific instructions. The precepts of the Lord, they are right. That is, they are never wrong, ever wrong. They're always right. Giving joy to the heart, overcoming sadness, despair, and hopelessness. Verse 8 goes on to say, the commands of the Lord. The commands of the Lord. That refers to what to do and what not to do. Are radiant. They shine light. They send light. They illuminate. As it goes on and says, giving light to the eyes, which means it gives us direction. And light our path. Gives light in decision making, which way to go in our life, what to do, decisions that have to be made. The commands of the Lord. Verse 9 goes on to say, the fear of the Lord. That fear is referring to reverence and respect for God and for his word. After all, his word is what we're talking about here, what this psalm is talking about in this stanza. The word of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, in regard to his word, is pure, meaning it's clean or free from impurities, enduring forever. It will never decay or deteriorate. Makes us think of the words of our Lord that said, put your treasures in heaven, not on earth, where they rust and deteriorate and where thieves break in to steal. Verse 9 goes on to say the ordinances of the Lord. The ordinance of the Lord refers to the decisions of the Lord. Ordinances is actually the word that is used here as a legal term, meaning the verdict of the Lord. The decisions that God Almighty makes, they are the ordinances spoken of here. The verdicts of the Lord about everything are sure, it says, and altogether right. There's never a problem with the decisions and the verdicts of our Lord as spelled out to us and for us in the Scriptures. Altogether righteous, totally right, without question. This word, verse 10 goes on to say, His word is more precious to us than wealth untold, than all the wealth in the world, and more desired than tasty food. I hope that you can say that His word is more precious than great wealth, or the best tasty food. The word that's used is honey, directly from the honeycomb. His word is sweeter than honey. Verse 11 goes on to say, By His word we are warned and we are rewarded. How true, how true. The author of this amazing document, the Word of God, deserves our total devotion and intense desire to stand pleasing in His sight. Is that your desire? Is that our desire? Is that my desire? We have to ask ourselves. Finally, in the last stanza, verse 12 and 13. 14 also, I suppose, but verse 12 and 13 speak specifically. Consider His ability to present us pleasing in His sight. After all of this, and the bottom line is, we ourselves cannot make ourselves absolutely pleasing in His sight. We need help, divine help. And these two verses bear that out, speak to that. The psalmist, first of all, asks a question: who can discern His errors? Who can counsel God? At one point in the Scriptures, it asks that question. Can anyone discern or point to the errors of God? No, no one. No one can do that. The answer is clear: no one. He does, however, in the next verse, 13, tells us, He does, however, have the ability to discern our hidden faults. Actually, that's the last line of verse 12, isn't it? He has the ability to discern our hidden faults and to forgive them. There are sins that we forget that we are absolutely ignorant of. You know, the word ignorant means simply uninformed. We use it as a derogatory term, as a bad accusation of someone being ignorant, but the word really means just be uninformed, just didn't know. And we have those sins, and the Old Testament sacrificial system had built into it sacrifices and prayers to God to forgive those unknown hidden sins. And God has the ability not only to identify them to us from time to time, but to forgive them even when we don't know about them. In what we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. That should always be our prayer. But He does have the ability to discern and take care of hidden faults. He also has the ability, in verse 13 tells us, to keep us from willful sins and not allow them to rule over us. Sin can rule us. Sin can be our master. And the prayer of the psalmist is, keep us from willful sins. And the last part of verse 13 says, because of the ability to forgive us and protect us from sins, we will then be blameless and innocent in His sight. In other words, we will be pleasing in His presence. He will present us blameless in His sight. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. That's our desire. Indeed, He does deserve our total devotion and intense desire to stand pleasing in His sight. Our greatest desire and our prayer should be, verse 14, may the words of my mouth, what we say, in the meditation of my heart, what we are thinking in our hearts and our minds. And by the way, what comes out of our mouth is a result of the meditations of our heart. That's the meaning and the significance here of that line in verse 14. May the words of our mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Events of this week have been disturbing. The following week, this week ahead of us, promises to be no different. In the middle of all of this, with a continuing pandemic and our nation in chaos, lines being drawn, people being demanded to take sides one or the other, our intense desire should be our relationship with our Lord. Our focus of attention should be there, always to be pleasing in His sight. All else should be secondary. Remember, we are kingdom citizens. We are not of this world, but we are in this world to present hope and salvation through Christ to the world around us. That's who we are, and that's what we are here for. Indeed, we are citizens of the United States of America, but above that, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. All of this brings our thinking back to a prayer. And here, if you want to turn there, you may, John 17. I want to read a few verses in this prayer of our Lord, but Before He was sacrificed. May very well have been, some believe, that it was part of His prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. Before He was taken and crucified, and He gave His life for us. We talk about the Lord's Prayer, but what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer is actually a model prayer that He tells us, so we can model our praying afterward. We can after that prayer, but here in John 17 is His prayer for us. It's truly the Lord's Prayer. And I want to pick up with a few verses here that remind us of some very important things that He prayed for, and I think really fall in very well with Psalm 19 and our desires to be pleasing in His sight. John 17, let's pick up in verse 13. I am coming to you now, He's praying. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. His prayers to Heavenly Father, as our prayers all ought to be, our Father which is in heaven, He teaches us to pray. And He's saying to the Father, I'm coming to you, but now I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, that's us, His followers, may have the full assurance of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am not of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not in this world. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And remember, the word sanctify means set apart for the purpose that God has for us. In the Old Testament, the furniture in the tabernacle and then in the temple was sanctified for the purpose of God. And then the New Testament says that on our salvation, upon our salvation by the blood of Christ and by faith, we accepting Him as our Savior, we immediately are sanctified. We're set apart, holy, according to God's purpose for us, for Him, for service to Him. That is a one-time event, but it is also a continuing event. As long as we live, we are sanctified to His purpose. And when we find ourselves not pleasing in His sight, we need to search for a renewal of that sanctification. Our Lord here in His prayer is very clear. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Right here it is. This is what will sanctify us. This is what will set us aside, apart from the rest of the world, for service to God. This is what will make us pleasing in His sight. Remember what I said in the beginning in the psalm, on the basis of those first 13 verses, then we can pray and can be achieved, verse 14. Let's go on with what is said here, verse 18 and 19 in John 17. John 17, 18 goes on and says, as you send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, Jesus is saying, so that they too may be truly sanctified. That's why Jesus gave Himself. That's why Jesus went to the cross and died, so that we ourselves can be sanctified, set apart for the use of God. Without that, we're useless to God. And then pick up in verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. In verse 23 again, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What a prayer our Lord prayed for us. So in closing, I simply say to you, let that be our challenge for the days ahead. And what a challenge it is. Let us watch what we say. Words can get us in trouble, real trouble. Watch what you tweet. Watch what you put online. Because if you choose the wrong words, you could be any one of us could be in real, real trouble these days. So as that verse and the last verse of this psalm is, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart, what we think and what comes out of our mouth is a result of what we're thinking. So that's really where it's got to begin, isn't it? In the thinking and in the condition of our heart. I wonder in this psalm, I said, why did he say the meditation of my heart? Why didn't he say the meditation of my mind? Here's where the meditation takes place. But what takes place in here comes from the heart. And when our heart is right, our mind's right. And so the meditations begin in the heart. And again, God's word is true beyond question, beyond doubt. It's saying it exactly the way it is, the way it ought to be. The meditations of our heart. And then that comes the meditations of our mind. And then that comes the words of our mouth. That all of that, from the heart to the mind, out of the mouth, may be pleasing in your sight. O Lord. Remember who the Lord is. The Lord is the master. O Lord, my rock. When everything else falls apart, we don't know where all of this is going to end in our country. But one thing for sure is that our Savior is the rock upon which we can stand. What did we sing a while ago? Something, I hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. My rock and my Redeemer. A Redeemer is a person, a family member who buys back another family member who has been sold into slavery. That Redeemer, that kinsman, goes and purchases, and Christ has purchased with the shed blood of His own body and the broken body that He presented. He has purchased us, bought us back from the enslavement of Satan. He is our Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Let it be so, O Lord, for each one of us today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the word. We thank you for presenting to us very clear truth of who you are and how you want to apply yourself in our lives. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be obedient in these troubled days and the challenges that lay before us. This is our prayer this morning. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please stand and we sing a closing hymn, a hymn of invitation. What is that hymn, John? And the name of that is?
I live for him.
I live for him who died for me. That's very fitting. Sing that verse. It's a short song, so let's sing at least two verses of that.
Given us today, let us take and apply to our hearts and our lives that we can be the servant.
we should be for you. Just stay with us now as we go in and out of the Lord, and pray that you give us our sins and our shortcomings. We thank you for that. Amen.